This is February 15th teleconference, 2013. And our focus is the ease fields. This is Nancy Shipley Rubin. And the qualities that we're going to be really deeply taking in is trust. So let's just breathe in our hearts and feel what trust is, to really sense what that means in your body. So when you call on the field of trust, watch what happens. And we want to empower our crystal with the strength of this trust. And just take a nice deep breath. Committing to your spiritual presence. We have the image of commitment that we worked with in class one. Mine was the archer. I took that image first and put it right in my pico, right down in my pelvic area, right first chakra, and just let that power of the arrow, that sense of undivided attention, focusing on whatever it was that was manifesting in my outside world with the intention to be really present with whatever I was experiencing. In the second class, I placed the image of the archer in my heart. To commit to love. And a depth of understanding. And tonight, I placed this archer power in my sixth chakra, in my body of light. So follow with me as you place your image of what it means to be committed into your light body and into your light center. I have a feeling that I could concentrate from now to the end of time and receive more and more and more around the power of committing to spiritual presence. It is endless and timeless. And when we look at what we've been doing, we've been looking for energy that was free-floating and some level of stress or anxiety, something that was anchored in a defense mechanism or basically a fear field, a place of contraction, and was asking if we could utilize that power of that contraction by opening it to expansion. Taking the power that we would have used to bring order to our life, the power that we would use to feel protected in our essence, and asking for a new way, maybe an ancient way, to transform that energy into a much bigger place of wisdom and truth. Wisdom and truth. So our word today is trust. We're accepting that in this commitment to our spiritual presence, we are committing to experience this expansion process, to allow, if necessary, our old paradigm to crack, our old worlds that were based on memory and hurts and wounds, to reconfigure so that a deeper and stronger energy current could be experienced in our body. And I know all of you. I know you well. So I know you take your commitment seriously. And I understand that this breaking of the old paradigm can be very uncomfortable. I've experienced a fair amount of uncomfortableness at times through this process, as it would go through a sense of showing me the contraction, breaking it through, and then giving me the space on the other side of it. And it's moving quickly in my experience. Often 2 or 3 days is about the maximum of this feeling of contraction, revealing the old memory, and then the expansion process that comes on the other side of that. I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for walking with me and walking in this work. As far as I can tell, everybody is doing it in their own way. That when we came to the commitment to our spiritual presence, the first request that was made of me in orchestrating this was to keep it as simple as possible. Don't get too fancy. Huh? And so in doing that, I came back to things that we know well in our body, concepts that we have explored probably pretty extensively from psychological and spiritual levels. We're all well versed in this. And just simply looked at what it meant to put it into a different energy context, not necessarily even a word context, but a different energy context, meaning that we would experience this differently. And the elegance of the new safety field, to me, was absolutely exquisite because there was a sense of it being pretty invisible. And yet I knew that the only reason I was seeing the intensity of some of my old defense mechanisms and to understand that I could actually stand present with these guardian influences was primarily because my new safety field was in operation. That kept me being able to harness even some of the uncomfortableness with this sense of guidance that we were given. So how were we guided to deal with our guardian protectors? Well, the first thing we were asked to do is to recognize it as the old safety field. That if we were in a place of defending or trying to protect, if we were blaming something, pointing our finger, in a place of self-implosion where we were making ourselves wrong or thinking that we were the scum of the universe and holding ourselves as completely responsible and empty for all the bad that's ever come about in our life with no consideration that there was anything other than our fault. Or the bitterness that comes when you live in that kind of self-implosion for a long time, or take on other people's darkness to a degree that you have to be responsible for them. These were the defender, the protector guardians that we addressed. Very, very powerful, powerful protectors. And we were asked, very specifically, to bring honor and respect. To accept that they were here for good reason, that we should be grateful for that presence, and that if possible, have a little fun, you know, to make some jokes, to play with a little bit, to see how funny it was. I thought it was pretty funny. It was like, by the time I was finished with the conference, my defender had came strong in its shield of righteousness up twice. I was encouraged as I hung up the phone and was listening to it to just be quiet with it for a while, because there was a part of me that was ready to just go make my case. And I just kept hearing this, just sit with this for a minute. It ends up, as I finally did get around to making my case and giving my speech, that in both situations, my perception was wrong. And how I perceived the situation and the offense actually didn't happen that way. And it threw me. It's like, oh my God, not only am I here having to live within this projection of protection and defense, which I am swearing with my bottom dollar that is based on the truth, and it wasn't true. Talk about humbling. It was very, very good. I did get a sense of humor around it, but it took me a while. So then I had this big question of how true is this? How true are these guardian protectors? Is it just some big story that I make up to be able to defend my essence that, as we heard very clearly, was true at one time, but that the story might not be true now? And that we might have to accept that the very power that was protecting us was wrong in its perception? Talking about the cracking of the egg. So that at one point, I realized something that was very important to me. It was kind of that eureka moment. And that what I recognized that in my old fear systems, that my guardian protectors were not necessarily connected to reality. They were connected to my wounds. Let me say that again. They weren't necessarily connected to reality, to what's happening right now. They're connected to my wounds. That means that they're hooked into a very intricate memory system to protect me from something so that it would never happen again. As I was playing with that, and coupled with the sense that I was giving up my worry, which was an underlying anxiety that was playing in my body more than I realized, I had a huge release process, and I got to relive a memory in my body that has lived there probably since I was about 3 years old. It was a lot to digest, and within a day or two, I was back conscious again. I had the opportunity to go to a Chinese New Year ceremony with a very powerful Buddhist priest who clears karma. That's what he's been doing probably since he was 3 years old. And I was able to clear a huge amount of what these old memories were about. And I held you all with me in a very deep way as we stood holding our wooden sticks with asking to put all the negativity of everything that we could ever think has happened into the stick. And then we give it to the Roshi and he burns it on the fires and blesses us with the new year time. And we held all of you there in that process. And when I left that day, something had changed. Something was lighter, and I knew my relationship to my guardians wouldn't be the same again. But I was still left with the instruction to honor. To respect. And so what I recognized in honor and respect would mean that my guardians would be connected to truth. They would be connected to wisdom. They would be connected to compassion. Not to my old wounded identity, but to a universal power. To a life force greater than I might be able to imagine. To the life force that I have seen and witnessed in all the great ones the courage of Martin Luther King, of Gandhi, of all the beings who stood in nonviolent revolution and said that we do not really have the ability to stand in oppression any longer. We have to stand clear, but we can't be our own oppressor. We can't be the blame, the violence, and the anger that we're asking to stop outside of us. We have to transform it within ourselves. Thus, the awakening of our protector guardians in more than likely their true face of being. And I welcome this for all of us. I have a sense, again, that this is what it has always been, and my perception was probably what stopped me from seeing the truth. We see it to the degree that we feel protected. And within this, we open to a completely new sense of safety, because within truth, within compassion, within grace, we don't need the same kind of protection because we're not wounded. And the premise of this, that we are not a wounded being, our essence is not wounded, is the foundation of today's work. The foundation of what we're here to do. So our formation statement, you can write this down if you want, is everything I need is already here. Everything I need is already here. And if everything's already here, it's just a matter of concentrating on what we need and finding it. So that in the simplest of ways, when I identify my need, I'm refocusing my awareness. So I may notice that I called for love and suddenly the neighbor is just so happy to see me and friendly and wants me to know how wonderful it is to live next door. Now, that love might have been there before, but because I focus on it, suddenly I open my receptivity and it goes in a much deeper place. So when we were working really clearly in our first teleconference and we came together and said, okay, our main word here is awareness. We were asking to be really aware of what we were feeling and what we needed, and to let that be the foundation of our locator button, the where am I, allowing us to come back with that clear sense of what am I feeling and what do I need. And we might have done that at first, maybe what allowed us to remember was our agitation or our difficulty in the moment, but pretty soon you don't base your life on suffering anymore. You don't just cue in when you feel bad. You start recognizing that you eat right all the time because it tastes good, not because it's just good for you. And that in that way, we started looking at checking into how we feel when we're feeling good. We start a new sense of norm where we don't just come to our spiritual awareness when something's off. We come when the going's good. How am I feeling? We invited gratitude. And to really acknowledge the blessing of every moment. And to recognize that in this expansion process, we're in class two now, in this expansion process, everything we bring into the world is a blessing. That's our essence. That's what our essence does. It blesses. That in various civilizations, there would often be a priest or a sadhu, someone whose their only job in the village was to be generating this pure essence. So in that simple agricultural living, I would bring my seeds for the sadhu to bless these seeds so that they would all be potentized, that everyone would sprout, and that we would have a marvelous harvest, and we would all live in that land of plenty. This essence is in all of us. It's been acknowledged through every tradition. And so we're invited to be feeling the sense of gratitude. And what we found is that when we concentrate on what we feel, when we name it, it gets bigger. So when I acknowledge, wow, I'm in this place of gratitude, it starts to expand and it starts to open. And then even when there's difficult moments, even when we're letting go of something or dealing with a situation that's awkward or difficult, or a part of ourself even that's awkward or difficult, this power of expansion, this power of blessings starts taking over our nervous system, so that that light, that presence from our spirit becomes available to us in a much more potentized way. So we acknowledge that it was safe to feel good, that this feeling of goodness would actually increase our spirit awareness, that we'd stay grounded, that we'll stay anchored, we'll stay clear in our contributions. We'll stay energized. We'll stay open. We'd be willing to have some fun here. Right? And right about the time that opens up, then we went, okay, so in this opening, it's like, and this sense of expansion, we want to feel safe, that if we don't feel safe, this energy is going to contract, that we want to contract in a way that doesn't close off ourself from our essence or puts us into hiding, and we'd like to stay comfortable where we're not basically pushed back into the memory of our old wounds, so that we can have an experience without it continuously triggering us to that place that was hurting. And that's one reason why in our meditation class two, we took all our old guardians and the memories that they were connected to, and we put them on the altar for purification and for healing. We're pouring water on them left and right, just being able to get a sense that this power of wisdom could be purified, then opens water snake. I mean, how perfect, yes? In the sense that that purification of our mystical center to bring us to a level of expansion and openness, to bring us to a place of love. Another very important foundational word here we want to be with. Trust. Love. Honor and respect. Let's take a breath. So far, we're still in a pretty simple dynamic. We're naming the energy field that's needed. We're allowing an experience that might be new to us, that may give us a richer sense of texture. So let's set a love field. So breathing into our heart, we're acknowledging our core that we are open, we're ready, we're always love. Love is good. So that we're focusing on that space of love, and bring your awareness from your heart all the way down through the base chakra so that you get nice and grounded here. We want you to be in the present moment. This is not so much a meditation as a real sense of in the supermarket kind of space. You know, here we are, you know, it's like. And so we're calling for love. And as we're calling for love, it may not be because I need love that I'm calling for this. It may not have a polarity. It may not have a sense that something wants so the another part gives. This might be that we have a focused awareness, like a marvelous container, that as it fills itself up, it just starts to expand and goes out just for the love of being. Reminds me of a flower that just goes through its process of building its beauty, opens itself up to call for the birds and the bees, feels this wonderful fragrance and this sense of expansion that just goes out to celebrate life. And as it calls and gives its presence in the world, brings grace. I was marveling that almost everything I eat comes from a flower. Little eggplant flowers and little tomato flowers, and just this beautiful sense that it all comes from this blossom. So I just want you to have permission here to be the blossom, to feel the richness. And feel the magnetism from that ease field space that acknowledges that everything that you need is already here within the space. Just like everything that this little flower needs in order for it to become food offerings to the world is already coded into it. And that as our awareness and our magnetism get stronger and stronger, the universe provides. And we get to get comfortable here. Take a nice big breath. So what allows us to build comfort is the understanding and the trust of our spiritual presence. We're calling this the ease field. The ease field. Where you can sense all these different levels of magnetic influence and this, whatever we're working with, you can feel the natural draw that comes in, that we put forth a request and it's pretty much automatically answered. We've been practicing the ease field with our little 1-2-3 game, where we was willing to name the state of stress that we were in, whether it was overwhelm or worry or frustration, to engage the formative part of our awareness by naming it and also naming what was needed. And by engaging our formative side, it was much easier to track when the answer or the situation came. And so we watched it move from an agitated, stress-filled place, filled with a lot of agitation, to a sense of things just moving along the river as they move. From the ease field, we witnessed a perfection of how things fit together, how that magnetic draw brought whatever was necessary into focus. because I love tracking, I witness this every day. And at times I had to find a new level of honesty to admit exactly what I was feeling or what was going on inside, because I always just want to be all fine and there's no problem and everything's wonderful and leave me alone already. But there's a sense that going underneath that, being able to feel a deeper space, that's when I felt that safety field gave me, was a deeper honesty to acknowledge when I was needing support, when I was a little uncomfortable, meaning that my body was going to a change and creating that magnetism. And then what I noticed that when I was in the ease field, often the same would come, but it didn't have to wait till I was thirsty or deficient for it to come. The whole thing came, the phone rang, the answer got here before I even acknowledged that I might even have a question or a problem. So the ease field is based on expansion. And the key is that we want to be able to feel that sense of expansion, but at the same time, we don't want to get spaced out. We don't want to go so far out there that we're not noticing, or that we just sort of gliding along like we're on drugs or something. We want to be able to have a sense of a real conscious acknowledgement, a place of gratitude, the ability to say thank you as we are conscious within this ease field. It's based on love. So we want to have our wits about us. We want to get this deeper sense of grounding and connecting to ease. So in the context of the ease field, we come back again and say, okay, we were practicing the ease field right from the beginning when we came with the 1, 2, 3. Look and see what's important now. I'm going to let you have all three of them now, and not, you'll practice as they come up. But to have a sense of noticing from that worry, the overwhelm, the frustration, how it is that when you lifted and were in that place of solution, how it left you in that feeling of spaciousness. And you'll get to practice this, because we want to keep bringing it back to the sense of ease. In exploring this, I really had to really question what was the use of the stress factor. Was all this worry and concern simply because I forgot my source? Was it because I didn't think God had anything going for him, and that it was just basically that whatever the spiritual presence was not really capable? It's like, what does it come from? Where does the stress come from? I don't have a deep body answer yet. The closest I came to is that it comes from the wounded experience that says the world looked like that once and it probably is going to look like that until eternity. But I also know numbness really well, and so that I didn't want to go to the stress, turn it off to a way that becomes numb. I was too well versed in that reality. So I started looking at the positive use of the energy we would call stress. So if we come for words that would describe it, Errol often talks about it as excitement, aliveness. It's like when we're really, really energized about something that we're about to do. That if we register that in the body, it's probably very similar in its chemicalization, only our body is digesting and utilizing that as positive energy. Where when it's in a fear field space, creating a lot of free radicals rolling around in your system. So you'll get to see how much energy that you need for whatever task it is that you set upon doing, because in the ease field, it doesn't mean that we're just all quiet. We'll have a lot of energy, we'll have a lot of movement, and we may move through some rough waters. But there's an alignment process that happens that lives in deep inner listening, careful, aware, and in balance with the universe. Knows when to speak, when to be quiet, when to take action, when to rest. Then ancient, ancient symbols, words, and graces that have spoken this to us in our poetries for as long as we can remember. And we're going to live it now. We're going to live that space of poetry and that deeper sense of connection. So let's take a little review here. Our word today is trust. We felt it in our body. We're going to live in trust field. That our formation statement is that everything I need is already here. And my expansion field is in the love. My expansion field is in the space of love. That I'm coming to transfer from fear field to wisdom. That Alice Bailey spoke about the transformation initiation times of the ages. They track them about every couple thousand years. She said the time that we'll go through this. There's both where we're coming from and where we're going to are very active. And that if we stay in where we're coming from for too long, we'll end up having nervous breakdown because that energy is no longer aligned to the powers of our stratosphere. That it's really forcing us to go to where we need to be. So where have we been? But in the worlds of power. Where are we going is into the world of love. Will to heart. Power to love. So we can acknowledge the incredible strength and power of our old guardian forces. We can acknowledge the amazing level of power that fear has created on our planet. And we can acknowledge that new strength of love. So we're coming from power into love. That's the greater initiation process that's happening. I have a little story for you that was very cute. Our Buddhist priest that did our wonderful blessings doesn't have a lot of English in him. And his statements that he says to us when he was giving us the time of how to face the year, it's like in what to do with it was all, it was very humorous. It's like he'll say something and he would just giggle. I mean, he's an incredibly precious being. And he said, the first thing he said to us is he says, year of the snake. He says, it's got to be a big snake. It's got to be 4 feet, 6 feet long. He says, we've got to really see it as a big snake. And he says, we've got to be humble. Humble to the ground. He said, the snake moves along the ground. Humble to the ground. And then he started telling us how wonderful it is living in Hawaii, which we all agree because we love it here, and how we talk to each other and we love each other and we say hello to each other and that sense of greeting and connection of love and warmth that we give to each other just because we're out and about. And he said he went to Japan, and he said he was in this space with this other woman. This woman, she wouldn't acknowledge or talk to him. She wouldn't say hello. He said he thought she must have thought he was a dirty old man, which he thought was very funny, and he giggled himself beyond. He says, but she didn't have the aloha spirit. He says, that's not okay. He says, we have to cultivate this aloha spirit. We've got to live in warmth and caring and loving of our community. We're all in agreement. It's a sweet message. then he goes on this little tangent, which we couldn't quite figure out what he was trying to tell us for a while. He says, I went to the airport. He says, you know, all that, those surveillances and all those machines and all those people running around to that you have to go through all these things. And we're like, yes. And it's like, and he says, do you know who pays for that? He said, the airport doesn't pay for it. The airlines don't pay for it. He says, you pay for that. You pay for that, and then you have to endure it. You have to go through all these pat-downs and triple checks. He says, we should not stand for this. And he left silence in the room. And we're all, like, going, it's true, I pay for that, and I have to endure it. And maybe I shouldn't stand for it. And, you know, there was not a space that anyone thought that the airport was going to change at that moment or that anything was going to be different in the world immediately. But he was painting a picture that was to remind us that we don't have to live in fear and we don't have to support fear systems around us just because the power of authority says so. That is an example that allows us to move from power, especially fear-based power, into love. So given that I travel a lot and I have had a lot of the same feelings that he had, although I don't have any expectation that they would ever take down their little mechanisms, is I make sure to be super kind and playful with great respect to whoever is my border guard that I walk through. And we make sure, both Errol and I, that we are kind, that we have maybe a little sweetness to share with them, nothing that takes up their time, but enough to say, we're still here, heart to heart. That's what the ease field offers us. That's what we're asking for this next step, to get used to live where there isn't this stress and fear-driven pressures that force us into a containment that basically circle us back around our old wounds. We are here to heal whatever misperceptions. We're here to heal whatever fear that this evolution has created around us. We're not saying it's not here, but we want to have a healing relationship to it. And that's what our next step's about, is a healing relationship that recognizes that love truly is the answer. So let's do a little empowerment here, a little meditation in this space of love. So just give yourself a moment just to close your eyes and take a nice big breath into your heart. And let's be grateful. Grateful that we have these words, these ears that can hear. Grateful for the blessings of all the beings that have held unconditional love and righteousness, that are able to stand in the true guardianship of truth and wisdom, love and honor. We're asking for our protector guardians to reform within that space of truth and love, and that we connect them very deeply into wisdom. Feel that in your body, connecting to these principles, these guardians of truth, of love, of wisdom and grace. So you take a nice big breath. Generating love. By breathing into our heart space, giving permission for it to move as a warm current all the way down through the base of the spine, sensing the energy moving all the way down through our legs and out through the bottoms of our feet, connected to blessed earth. that we stand in honor to all that has come before us, to all that has formed us. We offer our love and our compassion. We're setting in our light center the ease field. The ease field. A way of holding the ease field is grace. And if we have no relation to ease, we call for grace. But ease acknowledge the aliveness, the joy, the excitement of living, even when we're on the edge. That empowers and that energizes our blessings. Ease gives us a sense of connecting our relationship of timeless, open space with precision awareness. Timeless, open space. Go up and expand into open, endless space. And then anchor it with precision awareness. Nice vertical line that comes all the way down through the base of the spine. Open, endless space. Precision awareness. Open, endless space brings resources. Precision awareness allows my personal generating field to ground and bring goodness, truth. Wisdom and love into the moment I'm experiencing. So many of us have been practicing most of our life this generating influence to ourselves, bringing light to our dark space, light to our woundedness. And this will continue. So if there is a place of deficiency or a feeling that you're in an identity crisis or if you're still caught in the grips of one of your protector guardians feeling that in some level you're being eaten by the very thing that is protecting you, let's bring healing. Let's place the part of you that's caught in that identity, along with the power that forms it, and place it on your altar. So if you're caught in a feeling of shame, emptiness, our loss. And we acknowledge the guardian of self-implosion, to place it on the altar. We're asking you to not identify so much with the guardian that you become it. And the guardian then changes. It changes the texture and becomes compassion. Just as the guardian of the defender, protector, becomes truth. The guardian of the blame becomes righteousness. The guardian of resentment becomes humble, receptive, supported. You can feel the strength of the principle of these guardians reaching into this wounded space and bringing it to another level that allows you to stand in your wholeness, allows you to identify in your grace, I am that. And be free. And this freedom is the ease field. It's really a space of liberation where we're not contained. We are exalted in a quiet, loving, humble way. Humble to the ground. Humble to the ground. So not only are we placing this transformation, this transfiguration of energetic on the altar to heal whatever is needed within our identity crisis and our dissolution, we also recognize the commitment in our spiritual presence to be kind. That kindness can become our religion. Kindness to others. Kindness to the awareness of others. Kindness to self. Nice big breath. Again, we expand into that open, endless space with precision awareness, bringing it home. Nice big breath. Ease. Bring it all the way down now, and let's activate our commitment powers in the base of the spine with your symbol. In your heart with your symbol. In your forehead. And in your crystal. And we acknowledge that all the good works, and we are joined in the power of the crystal in a good way, and that all the works, all the good merit of what we do, we offer it to the awakening of all sentient beings. We offer it to the awakening of all sentient beings. Open, endless space. You can feel the blessings expanding through all the stratospheres. And that power of precision awareness that anchors it right into the resonance that lives within our light, our love, our grounded presence. So as our homework, we do an act of kindness every day. This act of kindness may be to ourself, to our kitty cat, to the neighbor, to the community, large and small. Our measure is not what it is, but how it is given. And as we practice, you can do it in this moment here, a little practice session, this offering of kindness that acknowledges our grace, our goodness, that which steps beyond our own identity and brings blessings to the other. And in that giving, we receive. In the giving, we receive. So nice big breath now, allowing yourself to complete. Errol and I want to take this moment to thank you for being part of our world and part of our life in such a rich and beautiful way, and for supporting this work with your willingness and your awareness. And we just appreciate your feedback and your connection. It fills our cup. And we're very grateful that all of you are in our world. Thank you. So we wish you great aloha. And we'll welcome your feedback until we meet again. Aloha.